Rodrigo Duterte has 5 years as president under his belt. He has one more year to go before Filipinos elect his successor. We tend to judge Duterte's leadership based on his speeches, what we see on TV or hear on the radio, his public image. But how does he lead behind closed doors, away from the cameras? One major indicator of his governance style is how he leads the cabinet. The cabinet is a group of around 30 people appointed by the president to be in charge of everything from agriculture to health to justice to our telecommunication system. They are his alter egos, tasked to implement his orders and programs in all of these aspects of running a country. Being in the cabinet is a position of trust. The president can fire a cabinet member at any time, for any reason. To get a peek into how Duterte leads his cabinet, I talked to Jesus Dureza, a lawyer from Davao City. Dureza has known the president since they were in high school. In 2016, Duterte appointed him presidential advisor on the peace process. In 2018, he resigned amid corruption allegations involving officials in his office. Dureza was also a cabinet member of previous presidents, Joseph Estrada and Gloria Macapagal Arroyo. Listen to our interview.
You've known President Duterte since high school, and you've known him since his years as mayor, then as president. Has he changed in any way, you think?
Same. Hindi siya nag-iba. You know, when we were in high school, classmates kami in Digos, Holy Cross of Digos.
Yes.
Kwanya siya eh. Talagang yung mga sanggano doon, I remember one night, kasi we were in the same boarding house within the campus, no? Sabi niya, parts. We call ourselves parts, partners. Parts, alis tayo. Meron na tayong puntahan. So, hindi ko alam bakit. And then, pumunta kami sa isang bar doon. Bigla niyang sinampak yung leader ng grupo doon na nakaupo. Tapos takbo kami, balik kami sa campus kagad. Then, tinanong ko siya, uy, bakit man yun? Hindi ko man alam yun. Sabi niya, hindi. Ano yun? Nanggugulo yung grupo nila, yung barkada, yung gang nila doon sa labas.
Hmm.
Sabi ko, bakit naman? Hindi naman tayo kasali doon. Sabi niya, hindi. Kailangan natin disiplinahin yung mga nanggugulo. We were not even involved at all in their, yung mga kalukuhan ng mga gang na yun.
Hmm.
Pero he took the courage even in spite na maraming mga gang members nandun nakaupo sa bar. Sinapak niya. Tumba. Takbo kami agad. So parang ganun ang kanyang style even since we were in high school and up to now eh. Ganun ang style niya.
Meaning? I mean, ibig sabihin po parang yung leadership style niya is nanggugulo? Ganun po ba yun? Can you elaborate?
Kaya talagang di niya pinapalampas yung mga nanggugulo maski hindi kami involved, hindi siya involved. And that's him always, up to now, di ba? Up to now.
Pero kasi sir, presidency is a whole new ballgame eh. You're in charge of an entire country, the bureaucracy is very large and complicated, maraming different interests and groups, di ba, vying for influence. So, sir, I'm sure this would have changed anyone. Did you see how it affected him in being president for 5 years? How it has changed him as a man?
Alam mo, the same pa rin siya. When he was mayor of Davao City at the time, he would only appoint people whom he knew before and had a track record with him.
Mm-hmm.
Kasi pag bagong salta ka lang, maski anong galing mo, maski alam niya na magaling ka, always ang sabi ko doon sa nag-apply sa kanya when he was president, sabi ko, kilala ka ba natin yung President Duterte? Sabi, hindi sir. Pero ako, marami na akong track record. Sabi ko, ay wag. Sigurado hindi kanya appoint. That's why, today he appoints even military retired officers.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Military officers na kilala niya dati, hindi yung mga bagong salta lang sa kanya na bagong kilala niya.
Mm-hmm.
Dati na niya, when he was mayor of Davao City, kilala niya dati yung mga now retired military officers or PNP officers, yun ang ina-appoint niya.
Why do you think, sir, that's so? Kasi nakita ko nga rin yan during his years as president. But how does that help him or how does that affect his governance, you think?
Alam mo naman yung mga military, di ba?
Mm.
Obey first before you complain. Yes, sir, muna. Hmm. Saka ka na mag-complain. That's his, ni-expect kasi laki ng problema ng bansa. Eh kung makipag-discuss pa sa iyo yung cabinet member mo at mayroon kang instruction, di ba military?
Hmm.
Salute agad, yes, sir.
But sir,
before you complain.
How does it affect the quality of the programs, for example, or initiatives? Kasi yung ibang criticisms naman, kailangan yung discussion daw to make sure that the programs are ironed out or well thought out. And people are saying kaya minsan urong-sulong yung mga ibang policies kasi, for example, yung face shield wearing policy, diba, we saw a lot of urong-sulong there. Kasi hindi naman pinag-uusapan in-depth yung mga decisions. Maybe nga because of this culture of obey first, complain later. What do you think of those criticisms?
Well, you know, he's the type kasi na he doesn't really even discuss openly with his officials or members of the cabinet ano yung mga concerns eh. Remember during my time when I was a peace advisor, we don't contact him personally. We cannot even call him by phone because he doesn't give out his phone.
Mm-hmm.
You can only meet up with him. I could meet up with him only when during cabinet meetings. Diba? He's, pero pag, wala, you contact only through bongo.
So, hindi ba naging mahirap yun? Na you can't even, pag ganun, if you handle it yourself, what gives you the confidence that the way you're handling it won't make him angry?
No, because he trusts always his members of the cabinet. Eh. He trusts always. So, whatever you do, marami kang, di ba, marami akong nasalbar doon na Abu Sayyaf, mga kidnap victims ng Abu Sayyaf sa Sulu. I only present them to him pag nakuha ko na. Hindi ka na kailangan makipag-usap pa sa kanya. He trusts his members of the cabinet and the high officials. And he will leave it to them kung anong dapat niyong gawin. Hindi gaya ni Gloria Arroyo, micromanager yun Micromanager yun si Mam Glo.
So, ano yung pros and cons of Duterte's approach, you think, as a cabinet member?
Well, it's good for members of the cabinet because they are free to do whatever they want. They have a lot of flexibility rather than getting instructions. Kaya siya ni former President Ramos, do what is necessary. You're there on the ground, yes. You do what you want. Just report to me. Ganun siya. Pero iba si President Gloria, micromanager yun siya.
Sir, for example, like si, in the case of former Interior Secretary Ismael Sueño, di ba he was fired during a cabinet meeting?
Yep.
So, paano yun? Si President Duterte in that scenario didn't trust the secretary in that case. Kasi di ba yung issue niya doon was the Austrian fire trucks na overpriced. Following kasi your idea, you're saying that he gives a lot of flexibility to cabinet members. How come that instance was different?
Pag there are issues of corruption, patay kang bata ka. Ayun niya ito, di ba sabi mo niya, I will kill you if you are a terrorist. You do corruption. Di ba, yun ang kanyang kuhan. Huwag ka lang mag-corrupt. At saka hindi na siya masyado nag-imbestiga. He gives you the benefit of the doubt, but will remove you from office immediately pag issues of corruption. Iba lang ngayon, di ba? Iba na marami ng mga kuhan about Duque. Well, I don't know na dahil I'm not in the cabinet anymore.
I see. You've served under different presidents. You mentioned earlier si President Arroyo. What makes Duterte's leadership style different from other presidents?
Well, very different. Micromanager si Gloria Arroyo. Si PRRD, he leaves you to do what you want. Si President Ramos also, diba sabi ko kanina, no, you're on the ground, you do whatever you just report to me. Ganun din. Ano po bang diferensya na ano?
How about Arab and Pinoy? Would you have any insights on their styles?
Wala. Hindi man ako nag-serve under Arab. Under Pinoy din, wala din. Rest in peace now.
Sir, through the years, I've noticed also that the president keeps his circle of confidants small. Like, even sa cabinet meetings, issues are just presented, but the decisions are made in very small group settings. Did you also see this?
Where? In the Duterte, ano?
Sa cabinet po. Like, the way decisions are made, usually the president consults a very small group that's specific to the issue. And then pag cabinet meeting, ano na lang, like presenting of decisions. Wala na masyadong discussion on what to do.
Iba-ibang style ang mga ibang presidente. You know, I serve cabinet presidents. President Ramos, President Gloria Arroyo, President Duterte. You know, in fact, I'm writing a book eh.
Wow, talaga, sir.
Walking with President.
Kailan yan out, sir?
Kita libre lang kopya pag lumabas, pero December pa.
Sige, sir. Kailan, sir?
December pa maglabas.
Ah, this year. Lapit na rin. So, sir, did you notice that? Na there are just small groups that the President consults regularly?
I think he consults always. Kasi kami, during cabinet meetings na kami pwedeng mag-usap eh. Pero usually, he talks to Executive Secretary Bingbong, Mijaldea, and to Bongo especially. Si Bongo yung kanyang always na kinakausap. Mm-hmm. In fact nga, during when I was member of the cabinet, I could not contact President Duterte directly, even though we were very close. I had to go through Bongo, now Senator, but at the time, ano niya, close-in aide niya yon during my time. Even E.S. Bingbong would even say, sabi niya, Brad, kasi we're brads in the fraternity, si Brad Bingbong. Brad, ano na lang, kayo dahil mag-usap ni Presidente? Kasi sometimes meron akong pinapasa kay Bingbong, Mijaldea na Executive Secretary ng mga concerns. No? Sabi niya, sige, copy. Pero ano, kayo nalang mag-usap during cabinet meetings.
So sir, yun, yung napansin niyo nga po na similar yung styles ni FVR with Duterte?
Hindi, iba si FVR eh. Si FVR will direct you to make a report. Si PRRD, hindi naman siya naghihingi ng report sa iyo. Just do what you have to do under your guidelines, under your mandate. Ganon ang tipo niya. Ganon ang type niya.
So kung wala naman siyang report na natatanggap, how does he know what's actually happening?
Oh, well, he gets it from, di ba, merong namang intelligence, mga reports sa kanya, mga briefer. He gets briefer like any president. They get briefers naman.
But were there any issues where you saw him become micromanaging? Kasi I'm sure there are some issues that he's very passionate about, he's very involved in.
No, he's very particular about corruption and terrorism.
Okay.
Yun lang ang ano niya. Masyado siyang very strong and explicit mga statements niya.
How about yung drug war? Did he talk about that in cabinet meetings?
Well, of course. Talks about it, but in general terms lang, nothing in detail. Because he directs who was in charge of that particular issue. Yun ang directly tinatawag niya.
So, kumbaga parang may smaller meetings.
Marami siyang mga members of the cabinet niya na former military, di ba? Kasi usually, they don't ask you questions eh. They just say, yes sir, we'll do, sir.
So, during the times when you were called for meetings, you would know na the president, when were the times when the president would call smaller meetings? In what scenarios?
Small meetings. Walang small meetings eh. What we would do would be personally to meet up with them, person to person, with him, person to person. That was during my time. I don't know now. During my time, during cabinet leave meetings lang kami pwedeng makapag-usap. So, I take up matters with him personally.
Pero sir, diba may times na like you would have small meetings about the BUL or with the MILF, diba sir? Paano nangyayari yun?
Wala. What he does is he used to call for Kagi Murad separately. He would call for Nur Miswari separately. Hindi niya di-join. Walang common meetings siya. Walang meetings na they are able to meet. And then of course, yes, we would meet on certain issues together in small meetings. But it's only to brief him. Kasi he would allow cabinet members to make their own decisions. If you commit a mistake, you're responsible for it.
How about decisions he makes? Like, does he ever consult you? Like, dun sa peace process, what were the decisions he made that he asked for your opinion first?
Ano? Sorry to say, but he would just leave Bebot Belio and myself to do whatever we thought was proper. We just have to report to him.
So he never made any decision. Like, for example, yung dun sa contentious parts of the BOL, diba? Didn't he parang smooth out certain provisions there?
Alam mo, he would usually leave those to the experts, eh. Sabi niya, he would just call for a meeting to say, oh, how's everything? He's not the type kasi na ano eh, parang busisiin niya lahat-lahat ng mga issues. He's not that type, eh. Unlike Gloria Arroyo.
Sir, how about yung martial law, for example, in Mindanao, mga ganong decisions. After Marawi, di ba, he declared martial law while he was in Russia. I mean, those kinds of decisions, did he consult people?
Oh, he makes the decision alone. In fact, he did not call for anybody. I was peace advisor at the time. That was 2017, di ba?
Yep, yes.
Kami naman sa OPAP, we decided to do also what we thought was proper to do. Like, he did iftar, we met up with the evacuees. Because of the Marawi siege, we conducted our own social healing. Amin na lang yun. Di, alam mo mga sa mga maliliit mga detalya, hindi siya na makikialam eh. Hindi siya nakikialam.
So what would you say was the most challenging thing about being in President Duterte's cabinet?
What's the most challenging is I have to make my own decisions in matters regarding peace, no, all over the country. Yeah, pinaka-challenging. He just leaves you, he left me to my own way of doing things. So I have to make hard decisions myself without even consulting him.
Sir, do you think yung absence ng small meetings, the fact that it's very hard to access him, does that make things move slower than they would have if he was more accessible?
No, it makes it faster. Kasi yung cabinet members can decide immediately on his own. Eh. Kasi matatagal pa yan, magpa-meeting-meeting pa, magpaano pa. That's why very quick yung mga decisions namin noon.
Pero aren't there some decisions that only the president can make? Yung mga very
Which
sensitive...
One?
Like, for example, foreign affairs. I mean, aren't there decisions that only
well,
can
I don't know, because I'm not involved in foreign affairs. So, yasa yun.
And then, sir, were there also times you noticed that President Duterte would announce big decisions and then cabinet members would be caught flat-footed and scrambling? Like, for example, his announcement of an economic and military split from the United States. Like, si NSA Esperon didn't... know what was happening. He was even tameme when the reporters asked him. We were in China then, eh, I remember. So, yung mga ganyan,
well,
sir.
Ganon ang style of leadership niya.
Bakit, sir? Why does he do that?
I don't know. He makes his own judgment calls.
Is the surprise factor something that's important to the decision? That it needs to be a surprise somehow?
Well, you know, kung ikaw yung involved the cabinet member, tapos may decision siya involving your, tapos hindi mo alam, of course, you'd be surprised. But you told the line always.
Is there a sense, sir, that he does these things as a messaging tactic rin? Na in a way, it's kind of like, he said that because he wanted to send a message and he didn't really understand the implications of it? Is it possible?
Alam mo, ano siya eh. He wants to send always, he speaks loudly, but he's only sending a message. Like siya sabi, I will kill you. Hindi naman siya pumapatay. But it's to frighten people, to frighten those who are committing crimes, for example. Ganun siya, he sends a very strong message, but hindi niya naman ginagawa yung mga, ano niya eh, parang tinatakot lang niya.
Pero where does that leave the cabinet member? Kasi for example, yung kanyang announcement recently na to arrest people who don't want to get vaccinated.
I don't know, dahil I'm no longer in the cabinet, I cannot make
But when you heard this, did that remind you of his leadership style? That somehow it's consistent with his pattern of messaging?
Oh, pero ano yun? Pagtakot lang yun actually. Dahil nakita niya na kunti lang nagpa-vaccinate dahil sa mga fake news. It's his way nga of handling things eh.
But doesn't that make it hard for his cabinet members?
Diba sabi niya, ipaparesto ko lahat na hindi magpapakuna?
Oh, yun na nga, sir. Pero diba, hindi ba nahihirapan yung cabinet members dyan? Kasi like the Justice Secretary had to admit that there's no legal basis for it.
No, but it has to come from him. Kung ang sadya niya is to tell people, go and get vaccinated.
So you think he wasn't serious?
He didn't... it's serious, but it sends a very strong message to everyone. Kami lang nakakakilala sa kanya closely. Eh, yun lang sabi na, hindi man yan talaga magpa-aresto ng mga hindi na papapaksinate. Those who know him well lang ang magsabi na hindi man yan siya mapaparesto. Congress has to pass a law pa, di ba? Pero ano siya, talagang ganun ang style niya eh. Takutin ka niya.
I see. And sir, na-notice rin namin, in his cabinet, he brought a lot of close confidants from Davao City, yung kanyang mga childhood friends, di ba? Like si Sonny Dominguez, Bingbong Medialdea, now si Wendell Avisado is there and Melchor Kitain. Itong Davao Club, so to speak, how important were they to his presidency?
You know, as I said before, he will not appoint you to sensitive positions unless he knows you personally before.
Mm-hmm.
Kaya that's why puro mga taga-Davao inang inappoint niya sa kabinete niya. At saka yung mga military officers na dati nakilala na niya na magaling ding kumuha. He's the type na pag magsabi ko sa may aplikante, ang galing-galing pa niya, kilala ko rin. Sabi ko, kilala ka ni Presidente Duterte? Hindi sir, pero maganda naman ang track record. Sabi ko ay, huwag ka na lang mag-apply. He trusts only those whom he knew before. If newcomer ka, sorry. Maybe he will appoint you to lower positions, not very sensitive positions. But pag-sensitive position, which involves a position of trust, he will have to know that person before.
But sir,
may
implication po ba na people from Davao Days are now his close confidants, his close circle, but putting a premium on familiarity and friendship over, let's say, competence or knowing national issues on a national level, may impact ba to in his governance?
Walang impact yan sa kanya, I think. Kasi he always would choose only close-in people whom he knew before for a long time and whom he could trust. Ganun ang ugali niya. Hindi gaya ng ibang presidente na ano, pag magaling ka, hindi yan Davao Club. Ha? Pero yan ang ugali niya. Even mga friends niya when we were in high school. Up to now, he's friends with all high school classmates niya. Mm. Diba? Naging San Beda din siya.
Mm.
Alam mo, yung ina-appoint niya mga sa sensitive positions, mga classmates niya sa San Beda.
Mm.
You know, he always works along that line that, you know, I have to know you before I can put you in a sensitive position.
Is it because he wants to guard against leaks and betrayal or something like that?
Well, possibly. Pero hindi naman siya concerned about mga betrayals, mga leaks.
Kasi,
hindi naman siya concerned. Huwag lang i-leak yung kanyang love life.
Pero sir, hindi din ba may danger na puro yes man lang yung mga kasama niya? Isn't it also valuable to get people with other opinions or who can actually say no to you or correct you or give you alternatives to what you want?
Well, every president has his own style. Like si Gloria, hindi man niya ako masyado kilala dati.
Mm.
Pero kinuha niya ako and I occupied many positions in her cabinet.
Mm.
President Ramos din, hindi man niya ako kilala dati. Pagkasama lang kami sa golf course one time. Ina-point niya ako towards the end of his term.
Mm.
Kanya-kanyang style kasi.
Mm-hmm.
Kanya-kanyang style ang presidente. In fact, there's no even basis to compare each one. Each one has his own style, dapat.
How do you think si President Duterte handled criticism? Did anyone ever openly contradict him in a meeting? How did he take to that?
Well, you can contradict him, but in a very nice way. And during my time in the cabinet, I have not heard anybody even arguing with him during cabinet meetings. Because he will just open up and say, okay, this is the agenda, and ES Bing Bong will read the agenda. Wala masyadong discussion during cabinet meetings. It is during one-on-one meetings with members of the cabinet na matatag-usapan. And it's not within the hearing distance of the other members of the cabinet. Pabiro lang yan siya parati, even during cabinet meetings, openly.
Sir, may time daw ni si Secretary Dominguez openly said in a cabinet meeting, he questioned federalism kasi may presentation on federalism. And he was saying, oh, Roddy, if your only issue is Mindanao being parang receiving less funds than other areas, why do you have to change the whole constitution of the country? Do you remember that?
Kaya sa na yan, di ba? Wala namang federal system.
Oh,
sa
answer.
Parang lang.
Oh, pero I mean, the point is si Secretary Dominguez openly questioned him.
Yeah. Well, you know, because I think, alam naman si Sunny hindi yan nagtitipi eh. Sariling style din yan siya. Usually, he takes it up privately. Kailan ba yung ano yung federalism issue na...
I think 2017 yung cabinet meeting na yun eh, if I'm not mistaken.
Na Alzheimer na siguro ako. Yeah.
So, sir,
why
do you think President Duterte wouldn't be angry with Secretary Dominguez if he speaks that way? Like you said, no holds barred si Secretary Dominguez, diba? How come the president doesn't mind that?
Well, you know, taga-Dabaw si Sunny, kilala niya dati. And hindi ko lang malala bakit ano siya, hindi siya sumagot.
Mm. The pandemic, of all the president's men and women, who do you think he listens to the most? Whose opinion does he regularly seek?
Doon na siya kay Bongo.
Eh, sir, si Bongo ba may mga policy inputs ba siya?
Wala. Ano lang yan siya, parang conveyor of information lang yan siya. He makes his own decisions, si Digong. I have not heard him even countermand any cabinet member during my time. Na nagkamali. Except yung kisweno lang, no?
Yeah.
May issue. Mm.
Sir, how about si Undersecretary Melchor Kitain? Kasi he used to be city administrator of Davao, di ba, sir? And now he's in Malacanang. What part does he play?
He looks at prepared speeches, PRRD, he looks at even messages for the president. I know because we are members of the board of the University of Mindanao here. We're members of the board of trustees.
Mm.
And we meet regularly once a month here in Davao, si Puy Kitain.
Mm.
From my take with my conversations with him, wala, hindi man sa kinukonsult ng mga sensitive matters. Parang yung mga usual one lang tasks lang, like looking at messages, rewriting speeches, and all that.
Yung pandemic kasi is the biggest crisis to hit his presidency. From where you are now, from outside looking in, how do you think he's handling it?
Well, he still has the same kind of handling it. I'll arrest you pag hindi kayo nagpapakuna and all that. It doesn't change at all. He still moves around. May mga plane crash ng C-130. He was there in the spot, you know. He has not changed at all.
Talaga siya.
Same style pa rin siya. Yun lang, mahina na lumakad.
Do you think...
76 years old na yun siya.
Oh. Si President Duterte, one of the things he was never really good at or didn't have experience in was being a statesman, yung dealing with other countries, with foreign affairs. Do you think he somehow improved in this?
I don't know. I have not watched him lately kasi I'm out of the cabinet. You know, he still maintains closer ties with China. Diba? That's what he's doing now. And he's trying also to distance a little bit from the U.S., diba? You know, that's from my readings only. But he's playing also matuso din siya dahil hindi rin niya discrap pa ang existing forces agreement, diba, up to now. Although he's threatening, diba? So he wants to balance up keeping the Philippines close to the U.S., not abandoning it totally, and also managing relations with China. Masyado yan siyang bright eh, na he tries to balance off. He will bullshit sometimes the U.S. and then kowtows with China. But at the same time, he will say, I will not scrap the visiting forces agreement. Let it be there for a while. Up to now, hindi pa niya na-scrap, di ba?
Oh, in-extend niya ulit for another 6 months.
In-extend niya ulit. Magaling yan siya. Very strategic yan siya.
Sir, how about when it comes to signing state papers, mga laws, mga EOs that were requested by cabinet members? Does he take a long time or mabilis siya?
No. Alam mo sino nagagawa? Executive Secretary Bingbong Mizaldea.
China, it never reaches the president?
No, it reaches the president, but he's the one who drafts it and the president signs it. Minsan nga, the ES Bingbong na lang nagapirma in behalf of the president.
Okay.
Di ba may mga makita ka mga EO?
Bakit ganun? Kasi you're saying hindi siya masyado nakikipag-meeting, tapos hindi siya yung nagsasign ng EO. So, anong ginagawa niya?
Maraming masyadong problema ang buong bansa. Kung mag-concentrate lang siya dyan sa mga pipirmahan niya that will already involve. You know, if you're president, you sign. You're supposed to sign anything that passes to your desk. And I know that. I was executive secretary for a while during Gloria Arroyo dahil nag-lead si ES. Sobra ang trabaho ng executive secretary kasi it takes over the functions of the president. Kung doon na lang nakatutok ang presidente, wala na siya ibang magawa.
Pero ano ang ginagawa niya kung di niya tinututukan niya and he also doesn't, he's not fond of meetings either. So how does he govern? How does he make decisions?
I really do not know. Dahil hindi ko alam kung anong ginagawa niya. But I'm sure, analyze na yan ang lahat ng sitwasyon. Buong bansa pa naman ang problema, especially now. Ako, nahawan ako sa kanya. With what is happening now, and close to his end of his term, one year to go. And then he's already moving slowly.
Yun nga, sir. You can really see, no? The way he walks. Sir, last question siguro. Kasi sir, the ICC prosecutor recently announced that she thinks the drug war of the president merits an investigation. So, does this development change what you think of the drug war? Do you still support it?
No, it will not change at all.
But what do you think, sir? Kasi you...
Ano naman eh? Di ba yung ICC, International Criminal Court, if you don't participate there, it will not be binding to that country, di ba?
Well, we were a member. The case, it covers our membership.
Wala naman tayo doon.
di ba? Malis tayo.
Oh, malis sir, pero yung investigation is still pushing through.
Oh, well, because we have left it already, it will not be binding to us, whatever the decision will be.
Well, si President said he wouldn't participate. Eh. He wouldn't cooperate.
Oo nga.
But sir, still, I mean, the finding itself, whether or not we participate, may finding yung
prosecution. Depende kung anong finding ng ICC, it can have a negative image if it is negative on the Philippines. It can be positive if it is positive. But you know, kung after his term of office, dumating yung decision, for all we care, yeah.
But this doesn't change what you think of the drug war. Kasi some people are saying, ah, hindi naman si Duterte yung nag-order ng EJ case. But ito na nga may finding nga na it's state-sponsored. Or at least it's worth investigating that it's state-sponsored. So doesn't this change anything?
Well, it depends on the evidence nga that will be adduced there in the ICC. Depende sa evidence yan.
Okay, so right now you're not convinced dun sa evidence cited that calls for an investigation. Kasi yung sinasite doon, mga interviews with sources, doesn't change what you think of the drug war, the fact that the prosecutor found na may merit yung news reports, yung mga interviews with witnesses, na talagang may pattern of killings by state forces.
No, that's not the same. Mm. And it will not change also the president's way of handling things.
Mm.
It will not change at all. Yan ang style niya.
Last question, sir. We only have a year left to the administration. What do you think the president's priorities will be? And what do you think will his legacy be as president?
Well, I think the most important thing on this plate now is how to handle this pandemic. May new variant pa, may Delta variant pa. So, very important that we vaccinate as many Filipinos. We have, 110 million Filipinos now. Mm. Hanggang ngayon, 11 million pa lang na-vaccinate.
Mm-hmm.
So, wala pang herd immunity yan. I think you have to vaccinate 70 million pa yata Pinoy bago magkakaroon ng herd, ma-protection na ng lahat.
Mm-hmm.
And we're too way off the target of 70 million, 11 million lang ngayon. So, I think dapat tutukan niya yan. With due respect to him, yan ang tutukan niya. Try and borrow money kung hindi kaya ng ating local resources from wherever. Marami namang available na international lenders that he can tap. I think that is the most important thing that he has to focus on towards the end of his term.
And what do you think his legacy will be?
Yung kanyang governance style niya. That will be his legacy.
What do you mean by governance style?
Style niya, ano siya, very strong in language. He would threaten people. He would leave his members of the cabinet to make their own decisions and their own actions. He doesn't interfere much in what members of his cabinet would do.
Mm.
He only makes suggestions once in a while. And then he doesn't bother much about big meetings.
Yeah.
He does his own way of consoling the dead and the poor. Kanya-kanyang presidente kasi makanya-kanyang style.
You were listening to my interview with President Rodrigo Duterte's longtime friend and former cabinet member, Jesus Dureza. Catch more of Rappler's special coverage of President Duterte's final year on our website and social media pages. Thanks for listening to Seat of Power.